station WKFBO presents by transcription, Western Michigan at Work. Bring you the third in a series of programs about Western Michigan at Work. This broadcast is about the business of manufacturing peppermint oil, in which the A.M. Todd Company of Kalamazoo holds a position of unique leadership. Here is Willis Dunbar to tell you the story.
Good evening. It all started 2 years after the surrender of Lee at Appomattox Courthouse, when a 17-year-old boy down in St. Joseph County began to raise peppermint in his backyard. He was attending the high school at Sturgis at the time, and later went on to study at Northwestern University. He was fortunate in his parents. His father had moved to Michigan in 1838 and was a well-educated man. What was more unusual, his mother was exceptionally well-read for a woman of her day. The conversation in the home made the stories of Greece and Rome familiar to the boy and laid the foundation for his keen interest in later years for the collection of books and fine art. This boy was Albert May Todd, and his home was located about 2.5 miles southeast of the village of Nottawa. After his university training, young Albert started the cultivation and distilling of mint on a larger scale. The enterprise now known as the A.M. Todd Company really started 77 years ago, in the year 1869. Albert M. Todd was not satisfied to follow the beaten track. In 1875, he went to Europe, tramping across 8 or 9 countries and studying processes used there in preparing mint oils. He returned with fresh enthusiasm for the business which he was to make his life's work. When Albert Todd began growing peppermint and manufacturing peppermint oil in St. Joseph County, the center of the industry was Wayne County in New York. It had been started there back in 1816, and at its height, the Wayne County fields produced 50,000 pounds a year. Peppermint culture was first introduced into Michigan in 1835, but it was Albert M. Todd who, more than any other person, made this state the center of the industry. One improvement made by Michigan growers before Todd entered the picture was a new and better kind of distillery. This, plus the fact that the soil here was better, presently caused a shift of the industry from the state of New York to Michigan. For many years, Mr. Todd carried on a running campaign against the practice of some producers in adulterating the oils. His company always produced only the pure oils. In 1892, the business was moved to Kalamazoo, and the Todd Block at the corner of Rose Street and Kalamazoo Avenue was erected. In 1928, a new office and plant building was constructed on Douglas Avenue. Albert M. Todd remained active in the business until 1928, when he handed it over to his sons. He died in 1931 at the age of 81. During his long and active business life, Albert M. Todd saved time to be a good citizen. He was keenly interested in all kinds of reform, being a pioneer member of the Prohibitionist Party. In 1896, the year of the famous Bryan and McKinley campaign, Mr. Todd ran for Congress from his home district on the Democratic ticket. The district gave the Republican nominee for president, McKinley, a thumping 10,000 majority, but it elected Albert M. Todd to Congress. Mr. Todd was the only Democrat to represent the 3rd Michigan District in Congress from 1860 down to the present moment. In fact, he was the only Democrat elected to Congress from Michigan in 1896. In his many travels about Europe, he became interested in two things: public ownership of utilities and the collection of books and fine art. He advocated public ownership throughout his life. He built up a remarkable library and art collection, which at his death was given largely to local educational and charitable institutions. The business which this man started is now conducted by his son and his grandsons. From my conversation with the grandsons, it could be concluded that they are no less keenly interested in the business than the founder was. There are today just two major mint-growing areas in the United States, one in Michigan and Indiana, the other in Oregon and Washington. The Michigan-Indiana district is by far the larger of the two. Some 2,000 farmers in this area grow mint on a large scale. It grows best on mucklands, lands which many centuries ago formed the bed of ancient lakes in which various aquatic plants grew luxuriously. Altogether, 54,000 acres are devoted to mint growing, the equivalent of an area 1 mile wide and 85 miles long. The Todd Company itself operates some 2,000 acres of mint lands, largely around Mentha, Michigan, which town, incidentally, takes its name from the genus Mentha, of which peppermint is one species and spearmint another. The Todd Company deals in spearmint as well as peppermint, but the ratio in volume is about 1 to 5. The chief enemy of the peppermint plant is a fungus disease which feeds on the roots. This is known among farmers as the wilt disease. It is migratory, appearing, for example, in Kalamazoo County after it had practically driven peppermint from its original Michigan home, St. Joseph County. The best way to fight it is by careful crop rotation. Peppermint should not be grown on land for more than 3 years at a stretch, after which other crops should be planted for 3 years. Michigan State College Experimental Station has done and is doing pioneer work in combating this mint disease under the sponsorship of processors like the Todd Company and large manufacturers. Purdue University is also working on it, and both institutions have helped to increasingly mechanize the industry. Spearmint can sometimes be grown on land which is unsuited to peppermint. A considerable amount of spearmint is grown around Decatur in St. Joseph County and in LaGrange County, Indiana. The Todd Company is engaged principally in redistilling and blending these oils. It is said to be the largest distributor of peppermint oil in the whole world. It always has specialized in domestic oils, whereas most of its competitors handle a long list of exotic oils and are located distant from the areas of production. Oil is removed from the mint by the farmer in his own distillery, but the resulting product is far from uniform in odor, flavor, or purity. The manufacturer of a widely advertised toothpaste, confectionery, or chewing gum must produce a product which is uniform in quality. It is the job of the Todd Company to secure the oils from its own farms or from growers, to test and blend them so that they are always pure and uniform. The process is a most interesting one. One sees in the big warehouses huge steel drums holding 400 pounds, in which the oil comes in from the farms. The contents of each is first tested. The process is so unusual that I have asked one of the men from the Todd Laboratories to describe it for you. He is Mr. Campbell. Will you tell our listeners, sir, just how you go about it to test these oils?
Every drum or can of oil which comes to our plant is graded for odor quality and analyzed chemically before it is processed. The chemical analysis is prescribed in the United States Pharmacopeia, which is a book of specifications for many drugs, essential oils, and like products. We must blend these oils to meet these specifications. But grading for odor is equally important. A few drops from each sample are placed in a bell-shaped glass brandy snifter. By placing your hands around the bottom of this glass, the glass is warmed, vaporizing a small quantity of oil. You then bring the glass up to your nose, not too close, and breathe in a small amount of these vapors. After a little practice, good oil can be very sharply distinguished from poor oil by this method. We have a so-called jury in our organization which grades each sample. The majority of this jury makes the decision, even when the president of the company disagrees.
Well, what causes oil to have a poor odor, Mr. Campbell?
Usually weeds which were cut and distilled with the mint. There are other causes, but this is the most important one.
Now, when you combine oils, do you blend the weedy oil with the clean oil?
Absolutely not. If we did, we would ruin the clean oil and wouldn't improve the weedy oil at all. We pay the farmer a premium for clean oil. If we combined weedy oil with it, we would decrease the value of the clean oil so much that it would not be profitable.
What happens to the clean oil after it is graded, Mr. Campbell?
We blend it in glass-lined tanks on the basis of desirable odor quality and chemical tests. These bulkings, as they are called, are drawn off into drums and stored until they are needed by the purchaser.
Well, thank you, Mr. Campbell. The largest consumers of Todd oils are the makers of chewing gum. The next time you buy a package of gum, remember what you taste is most likely peppermint or spearmint oil blended right here in Kalamazoo. The next largest purchasers are manufacturers of dental preparations, toothpaste, and tooth powders. The makers of candy rank third. Not a great deal of these oils is used anymore in medicinal preparations. The demand for peppermint oil shot up during World War I and again during the late war. The reason, and it's a very interesting reason, seems to be this, that soldiers chew a lot of gum, brush their teeth oftener than average civilians, and maybe eat more candy. The Todd Company for years has had a large export business. Todd oils have become standard in the United Kingdom and in most of the European countries. They are still shipped in the same unique kind of wooden crates which were used years ago. Because the shape of that crate and the kind of printing thereon, though old-fashioned, constitute a dependable mark of quality. The Todd organization includes about 150 workers, many of them highly skilled. That, then, is the story of a business founded over three quarters of a century ago by an imaginative and industrious young farm boy and built into an enterprise known the world over. It's the story of a father passing on a business to his sons and they to theirs. And that's another chapter of Western Michigan at Work.
This has been the third in a new series of WKZO programs entitled Western Michigan at Work. On this evening's transcribed program, you heard the story of the A.M. Todd Company of Kalamazoo. Next week, on the fourth of these programs, we will bring you a report on the Sutherland Paper Company of Kalamazoo. This has been another broadcast presented by station WKZO in the public interest.